Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the second part of our super duper special two-part episode of the Dugout Debate podcast. Like I said last time, to celebrate our first birthday, we have dug deep into our grey matter and have selected our greatest sporting heroes. A big thank you to everyone who wrote in to ask where the list of ladies was. To answer your question, here it is. Remember, these lists are our own very humble opinions, so there's more than enough place to disagree. We have used the patented Hustleberry Hero Hierarchy, that's trademarked by the way, scoring system, and we've produced another list that will surely go down in the annals of history. So just like last time, if you missed the last episode, what we've done, we've come up with our own separate top 10 lists, collated them into a massive Excel document, given them some points, and outspat the greatest sporting ladies of all time. Right, so as per last time, we're going to do our honourable mentions. Firstly, Tamsin Greenway.
So Tamsin Greenway is an English netball player, and she was a former England international. She was director of netball for the first two seasons at the club, helping them win the title and also being a player coach.
Laura Kenny.
So Laura Kenny was a GB track and road cyclist. She was in the team pursuit and the scratch races. She won four Olympic gold medals, both in 2012 and two in 2016.
Martina Navratilova, that was me. Obviously a legend in both the singles game and the doubles game. Number one for 332 weeks in singles and 237 weeks in doubles. And she's the only player to have held top spot in both for over 200 weeks and more Grand Slam singles and doubles titles than you can shake a stick at. Billie Jean King, me again. Obviously another legend of the women's tennis game, but she's arguably more known for her impact socially. She gained notoriety for her victory in the Battle of the Sexes tennis match in 1973 and is well known for her pioneering work in gender equality, of course. Rocky Clark.
Rocky Clark, or Rochelle Clark, is the most capped England international rugby player of either gender, with 134 caps, having broken Jason Leonard's record, and is also a member of the Order of the British Empire as of 2015 New Year's Honours List. And another honourable mention should go to fellow Wasp lady Daniel Waterman, who is another fantastic women's rugby player to look out for.
Maggie Alfonsi.
So Maggie Alfonsi, MBE as well. She is an ex-England rugby player, played in the back row. She won seven consecutive Six Nations titles with England in 74 caps, as well as winning the 2014 World Cup.
Ellie Simmons, I totally forgot how young she was when she burst onto the team, but she won two Paralympic golds in 2008 despite being just 13. So, what the hell was I doing at 13? Definitely not winning any golds. She's gone on to win five Paralympic golds, one silver, two bronzes, 14 World Championship golds, four silvers and two bronzes over the long and short courses. Here's to her continued success. Simone Biles.
Simone Biles is an American artistic gymnast, and in the 2016 Olympics won an individual all-round vault and floor gold medal and balance beam bronze medal. She was part of the gold medal winning team dubbed the Final Five in that same Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, and is widely regarded as one of the best female gymnasts of all time. Quick mention for GB gymnasts as well, Beth Tweddle, who I remember watching through so many different Olympics growing up as well, I thought was well worth another mention.
Who's next? Nicola Adams.
Nicola Adams is a British boxer who has now become a professional British boxer. She was the first woman to win an Olympic boxing title in 2012 and a 2016 Olympic gold medal. Just recently she has become professional with a career record of five wins and no losses. I think her most recent one has actually just put her up for the mandatory challenger for the WBO belt.
So Maddie Hinch.
Maddie Hinch was the goalkeeper during the 2016 Olympic win for the women's hockey team, helping them win a gold medal, and she saved all four penalties in the final shootout against the Netherlands. Obviously an outstanding performance that's widely credited in the media as obviously the deciding factor in the game's outcome. And again, there were many women on that incredible hockey team that I could mention, and I thought Alex Danson was another one that could get a mention, and there are a few others that I know will come up later.
Victoria Pendleton, that was moi. Let me find her list. She's currently a jockey, but she's more well known for her exploits in cycling. She's a legend in cycling, part of the golden era of British cycling in the mid to late noughties. Two Olympic Games golds in the sprint in the Kieran, one silver, nine World Championship golds, five silvers, two bronzes across sprint, team sprint, Kieran, and 500 metre time trial, as well as Commonwealth gold, one silver, and European champs gold, and one silver. Katie Ledecky.
Katie Ledecky is an American competitive swimmer. She's won 5 Olympic gold medals and 14 World Championship gold medals. She's the most decorated swimmer in history, female swimmer in history. She is the current world record holder in the women's 400, 800 and 1500 meter freestyle. And she also holds the fastest ever times in the women's 500, 1000 and 1650 yard freestyle events. She is the female version of Michael Phelps, and I highly recommend you to go out and watch some of her videos.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. Maria Sharapova.
So Maria Sharapova, most people know from obviously tennis. She was the youngest Grand Slam winner at 18 years old. She's 5-time Grand Slam champion and 5-time world number one champion in total, holding for 21 weeks, which obviously doesn't sound that much, but unfortunately she hasn't had a great record with injuries. But also she is the she won an Olympic silver medal in 2012. And in 2006, she was the highest paid female athlete and did a hell of a lot in terms of charity.
Lovely. So that's all our honourable mentions. I appreciate that that takes a little while, but I think it's important to mention everyone who we put on our list. They're on there for a reason. Right. So the first person on our list to stand alone at 10th place, we're going to go for Rebecca Adlington, which was Jack's nomination.
Yeah. So Rebecca Adlington was a former British swimmer. She had a huge impact in British swimming, especially at the time when we weren't amazing at swimming. I think she won 4 Olympic medals, 2 gold medals in, God, I'm trying to remember now, I think it's 2008.
Beijing.
Yeah, 2008, where she was the first female swimmer to actually win 2 gold medals in the same Olympics since 1908, which is unbelievable.
That's the first Brit to do that.
Yeah, sorry. And then she won 2 bronze medals in 2012 as well, showing that she was able to compete again, because you don't find a lot of swimmers. You find the top swimmers competing at the top level constantly, but it's a very tough sport to stay there consecutively. And she had an unbelievable impact in swimming, I think, in general, especially for Britain and especially for females. And yeah, for me, she had a great, massive impact, and I just loved watching her compete.
I really vividly remember that. The 2008 Olympics is when I really got into sort of the Olympic spirit, if you like. Yeah. And I think it was the 400 first. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think it was.
Even if you remember. So we all knew that the 400 wasn't her main event. It was the 800. She won the gold in the 400 and then absolutely obliterated that world record in the 800 final. And that record had stood for 19 years at that point, which is quite rare for swimming records, especially with the development of tech sort of around on that time. She got 2 bronzes in London. She also got a couple of world champs golds, a couple of silvers, a couple of bronzes, a gold, a silver and a bronze in the European champs, Commonwealth golds and 2 bronzes. Her early-ish retirement in 2013 was a real shame, but she very quickly became a sporting hero and known all over the country. She's a very, very worthy addition to this list, I think. And she's actually turned into a really good and interesting pundit.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially with the swimming. It's really quite refreshing.
Sort of giving you some real life swimming realities. I know that's horrible English, but you're shining a light on what it is to be a swimmer and how difficult it is. And you know, I think we've said before that swimming is probably up there with one of the hardest sports to sort of train for, and the time schedule that you have when you're a swimmer, especially starting out at school, that's brutal. So yeah, very worthy addition to this list. Unlike the gents, this list is Brit-dominated, so we're very happy about that. Right, so at 9th place on our list is Tanny Gray-Thompson. And why not I do it? And then, Chris, you can jump in if you have anything. Where is Baroness Tanny Gray-Thompson? There she is. Obviously, she's a legendary para-athlete in the T53 disability class, competing in wheelchair racing. She has, quite frankly, a stunning medal collection with 11 Paralympic gold medals, 4 silvers, 1 bronze across the 100, 200, 400, 800 and 4x100 disciplines, 2 world championship golds, 3 silvers and 1 bronze. Obviously she will be remembered by many for her exploits on the track, but now she's retired, she has a wide ranging influence in UK sport and is probably one of the most powerful people in UK sport. She was part of the London 2012 Legacy Development. We'll talk about that in a podcast coming up very soon. She's the chair of Women's Sport and Fitness Foundation Foundation Commission. She's chair of the board of UK Active, alongside numerous other positions, charity work, disability work, Paralympic work, all that sort of stuff. She's absolutely on the money. She's a legend. She's Baroness for a reason, and she's on the list for a reason. Guys, any memories, anything like that?
I wasn't fortunate enough to watch her in sport as much as you guys probably did, but I know for a fact that she was such a vocal and important part to us winning the 2012 Olympics as well, which was massive.
Yeah, not really anything else to add, Timmy. I think you've completely nailed it, so I don't think I need to add anything else.
Sat at number 8, we have Alison Felix. Again, it's mine. Why are mine popping up at the bottom? It's like I have some control over this. So, she specialised in the 200 and 400 metres. She's obviously a track athlete, an incredible runner, 6 Olympic golds and 3 silvers. She's the only track and field female athlete to hold 6 golds, Olympic golds even, and is tied as the most decorated female Olympian in track and field. She's got 11 world championship golds, 3 silvers and 2 bronzes, and she is the most decorated athlete in IAAF world championship history. And considering the number of people we've had who have been legends of the sport in the last even 30 years or so, that's quite a stunning achievement. And she sort of a little bit gone under the radar, I think. I really was going through my memory banks of people who I've been really impressed by, and Alison Felix is one of those people that just makes running look amazing. It looks so easy. She just glides across that track. Michael Johnson, whenever he talked about her, really says that half the battle she wins is, you know, technically she's brilliant. She glides along that track just like Michael Johnson did in his heyday, making sort of as little energy loss as you can while performing probably one of the hardest track and field events in the 400 and making it look really easy, and then just powering through at the end. She is amazing. She's an incredible athlete, and I think she's deservedly on the list. I don't know about you guys, how much you've seen of her, but
as you say, Timmy, we've probably only seen a little bits of her at the Olympics, but yeah, from what I remember in her races, having watched on TV, I do remember thinking that she just looked incredibly smooth over the ground, as you say, and looked very impressive.
There's a tendency, I think, with Olympic sports, particularly in this country, which probably explains a lot of our list, that they don't get focused on unless there's a British star,
yeah,
or there's a worldwide star. And I don't really know why Alison Felix hasn't fallen under that bracket.
Yeah, because it's true.
I remember watching her in the early days of my career and thinking that she was unbelievable, and then thinking, why isn't she getting as much coverage in the UK? This is just a debate we can have another day, perhaps. But yeah, she is unbelievable. If you want to watch how running is done properly, go and have a look at her on YouTube. That gliding is unbelievable. Anyway, so Chris, this is yours, and you ranked her very highly. Jo Pavey.
Yes, so she was actually number 2 on my list. So as you say, very, very high. So I'm glad that she has managed to make this list somewhere. I think it's because I give quite a big credit to perseverance, and she's definitely someone that personifies that perseverance. She's a British long distance runner and world, European and Commonwealth medalist. She won the 10,000 metre gold medal at the 2014 European Championships in Zurich, only 10 months after giving birth to her second child, to become the oldest female European champion in history at the age of 40 years and 325 days. She is coached by her husband and manager, Gavin Paney, with whom she has 2 children. And Pavey is a 5-time Olympian, having represented Great Britain in every Olympic Games from 2000 to 2016. She is the only British runner and track event athlete to have competed in those 5 games. She is also the 2012 European Championship. She is also the 2012 European Championship silver medalist in the 10,000 metres and a 2-time 5,000 metre medalist at the Commonwealth Games, winning the silver in Melbourne 2006 and a bronze in Glasgow in 2014. Pavey is the only athlete from outside of Kenya to win a Commonwealth medal at 5,000 metres since 2006. So just a few of her incredible achievements there, and longevity, and to peak at such an old age, I think is absolutely incredible, and why I rate her so highly.
So she was 40 in 2014, or
yes, at those 2014 European Championships.
So she's 44 now. So she was 32 when she won those medals in 2006, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It is.
Especially for a sport that, let's say, it requires technical brilliance in terms of running. There's not much technique in terms of hitting a ball or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And there's no, oh, it's just unbelievable. That's so good. It literally relying on raw power and speed at that age and matching it with the best athletes in the world who have the conditions geographically that help them. That's unreal. It's unbelievable.
And doing it 10 months after giving birth to your second child.
My word. Exactly. We hit. Go on, Jack. Go on.
No, yeah, like I completely agree. Like, I've got great memories of her for the fact that she has competed for so long. And as you said, to do that 10 months after giving birth to one of her children is unbelievable. Genuinely unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, as three blokes, we're never going to understand childbirth. But, you know, it's one of those things that is a real stress on the body. And until, 60, 70 odd years ago, we were pretty bad at keeping ladies alive. And we've got a number of women on this list who not only have had children, but they've come back in no time at all and started winning titles again.
Yeah.
But Joe Pavey's longevity is something else. How you keep the motivation to keep going for that long, such a long career, it's another world. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. It's not something I can relate to personally. So, massive shout out. Anything else from you, chaps?
No,
all good.
No. So, Kate Richardson Walsh sits at number 6 on our list, and she is my nomination. I do love hockey. I really like watching it. I started watching it quite late. I had an interest sort of in 2012, but it was more in 2016 when I really started watching it in earnest. The few girls who went to University of Birmingham ended up in the team, and this is how I started watching it in earnest. Kate Richardson Walsh is, I'm going to say it again, another legend of hockey. And the first thing I'll say is she has 375 England and Great Britain caps. That's not even taking into account club appearances, 375 England and Great Britain caps. So Shilton, what was he, 140, something like that?
Yeah.
England caps. She has 375. And the games last as long, they probably happen just about as often. Granted, you don't necessarily get Olympics, European champs, world champs as regularly in football, but 375, it's more than double anything she'll never got, and that's incredible. So she had her debut in the last century in 1999, obviously quite a while ago, captain both sides for 13 years, picking up the Olympic gold, of course, in Rio 2016 in dramatic fashion, and she obviously won the bronze in London in 2012. On that bronze medal winning campaign in 2012, she famously broke her jaw in a match versus Japan after a stick hit her in the face, and that was one of the most gruesome live bits of sport I've ever seen, and she was expected to miss the entire tournament. She had surgery and played in the final group game, missing just 3 matches, leading the team to the bronze medal as the captain. Unbelievable. That would have me bedbound for at least 3 months. She had a 7-year spell at Reading Hockey Club with some time in the Netherlands, Leicester and Slough. And all of that alongside 1 Euro Hockey Nations gold, 1 silver, 5 bronzes in that competition. She's a one-time Champions Trophy silver medalist, bronze medalist in that as well. 2 Commonwealth silvers, 2 Commonwealth bronzes and 1 World Cup bronze. Again, we talk about longevity, and this is another prime example of an athlete with unbelievable will and determination to keep going throughout their career and really try and bring through another generation after generation after generation. She finally retired a couple of years ago, and you know she will be a legend of hockey forever. And I'm fairly confident that she will be forever one of the top appearance makers in international sport forever. That's an unbelievable tally. I don't suppose you guys have anything to add on that?
Just saying that she's very well deserved on the list, and as I mentioned in my honourable mentions before, that the hockey players I have so much admiration for, like you do, Timmy. I'm very glad that we managed to get someone on the list, and if it was going to be anyone, it was definitely going to be her, so congratulations.
Yeah. 100%. This is another example of how these are very specifically our lists. I don't think I'd have started watching hockey with as much earnest if it wasn't for just the notoriety of the people that I had at my uni or the ladies in the clubs that I played for. And I watch the women's game far more than I do the men's game, just because I've got more people that I know in there and I recognise more names. Anyway, so that is that. So now we're heading into our top 5, and pretty much every single athlete from now on has got points from at least two of us, if not more. Which is why I'm a little bit surprised to see Paula Radcliffe down in fifth place. So who gave her the most points? It was Jack. Jack Kevin.
So Paula Radcliffe is a British long distance runner. She is a three-time London marathon winner, a three-time New York marathon winner, and she was also won the Chicago marathon. I think one of the most amazing things about Paula Radcliffe, in, I don't think a lot of people quite understand how unbelievably hard it is to win one marathon, let alone compete at such a long time. She's just done it amazingly. I think she's still got the female marathon record as well, which is crazy. So she's a former world champion in the marathon and the half marathon and cross country. She's also competed in the European Championship in 10,000 metres. She won gold in that.
She won the marathon gold, obviously, in the World Champs. Yeah, she's got a litter of medals.
Of everything. Unfortunately,
of everything except Olympic, which is, I think, probably why she's not higher. That's not an indictment. It's bloody difficult to win a gold in anything, let alone the marathon, which is... I'm not even going to go there. I can barely think about running 5K right now, let alone any more than that. I'm just going to trample on you a second. The world record she set in 2003, so we're 15 years down the line from that. And I remember when that happened. I was very young. Again, it was right at the birth, back in that magical year of 2003. 2 hours, 15 minutes and 25 seconds. If I ever made it under 4 hours, I think I'd give myself the largest beer you have ever seen. So let alone 2 hours, 15 minutes and 25 seconds. And of course she's one of those famous athletes who have done all of this alongside battling with asthma. You find that a lot of road runners or sort of road cyclists, they're obviously cycling on roads, and what's near to roads, cars, so a lot of them get sort of asthmatic problems at some point, or I say a lot of them. And obviously we've had some issues potentially with abuse of drugs within the asthma category. We're thinking Jiffy bags and salbutamol and that sort of thing. Not that we're suggesting Paula Radcliffe was ever part of this. I'm just making a little side note that that's where that all starts, with the road cyclists and the all that sort of thing. But yeah, she's a phenomenal athlete. It's a shame she never won an Olympic medal. I think she would have
shot up
right at the pinnacle of British sport. Because we've not been particularly brilliant in the marathon ever, have
but
we?
I think one of the amazing things about her is the fact that she was competing in shorter distances. I say shorter, obviously they're still but then still being able to compete at marathon level, and with obviously her health problems as well. It was just unbelievable that she was able to do that. And as you said, obviously the one impact in her career that she probably did miss was the Olympic medal, but. To be fair, she still competed at such a high level for so long, so successfully as well.
You do make a really valid point there about competing at shorter distances as well. And for a sports scientist, I probably should have spotted that a little bit.
Yeah,
soon.
Exactly.
Competing across such a wide variety of different distances is incredibly impressive, especially as low as 5K, where she won the Commonwealth gold. That's stunning.
Well, I think one of the things that you can kind of say is, like, if you look at Mo Farah now, he will arguably say that it's not easy from going from that into trying to run long distance. So you can see that it's an unbelievable accolade.
Yeah, it's taken him a good couple of years to convert the other direction, if you like. But she did that as part of her marathon endeavours and that sort of thing. So, again, I think another one of these athletes, we did mention it last time, but we'll mention it again, the longevity has really been a thing on this particular with this particular list. Every single one of these athletes has been competing forever and accrued all these medals. But again, unbelievable athlete. Really good pundit again. Really interesting. She, another one of these, just gives a real insight into what it's like to be an athlete. She's very vocal in the anti-doping stuff, especially when it was, I'll say it again, Bolt versus Gatlin. It was no hiding what side of the fence she was on. Others were a little bit more pragmatic and with their responses, but she was very much on one side rather than the other, as I think the majority of the population was. So amazing athlete, inspiration to lots and lots of people, and I think we'll just move straight
I think it's worth adding that she was also very anti wiping all of the records due to doping as well, because obviously she's still got that marathon record. Yes. So she was one of the big voices that came out and said, Because I was a clean athlete, I shouldn't be punished for everyone else that's dope.
100%.
So why should I lose my record? So I think she has been a fantastic voice, as you say, for all of the anti-doping stuff in athletics.
Completely agree.
Yeah, for sure. And we do keep those samples for many, many years. So, you know, I'm of a similar opinion. If they're provably clean sort of 20 years down the line, why should they be punished?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm totally of agreement. Right. Some people will be surprised. I certainly am, see this particular athlete quite far down our list. I mean, she's number four. But still, she's not another medalist. Serena Williams. So, Jack, you gave her big points on this. So, again, we're going to give it over to you to kick us off, and I'll interrupt undoubtedly at some point.
Serena Williams is probably arguably the most well-known female athlete. In my opinion, she is, but she's so vocal in everything. But Serena Williams is an unbelievable tennis player. In both singles, doubles and mixed, so she was competing at everything. She's got 23 singles titles, 14 doubles titles and 2 mixed titles. This is the second on the all-time list in the open era.
She's top in the open era. She's second. She's top. So she's behind Margaret Court in all of tennis, but she's top in the open era.
My mistake. But as you can see, she was being able to compete at such a high level for so long with her sister as well, which I think was amazing, considering her sister was one of her biggest competitors for so long, and then able to play in the doubles with her and compete and win 14 doubles titles as well, which is unbelievable. She has been very vocal in the past, most notably about feminism and racism in sport. And she does a hell of a lot in terms of standing up for that, which I think is brilliant. And I think she's an unbelievable role model for a lot of people.
Yeah. So obviously Serena Williams is third in the all-time list for cumulative weeks at number one, staying at that position for 319 weeks. Obviously she's dropped off and come back up. At some point she's behind Steffi Graf and Martina Navratilova. Just to put it in context, Federer is the highest male at 302 weeks. So quite frankly, wipes the floor with him by a few weeks. 14 Grand Slam doubles titles. Again, I always think that doubles titles don't get the rep that they deserve. I think everyone focuses on singles. 14 Grand Slam titles, and obviously the incredible number that Navratilova got is another unbelievable achievement in itself. Obviously, like you said, in partnership with her sister, she is an absolute legend. I've said it so many times already, I'm bored of hearing myself say it. Serena Williams is, like you said, probably the most well-known athlete at the moment, female athlete at the moment. And there's no reason to think she will stop anytime soon. She's still as dominant as she ever was. Obviously, she's been away for a little bit having her child, but now she's back and firing on most of her cylinders. I'm sure she'll add quite a few more to the
track. And arguably, the motivation of having her child, she could be up there now for a good few more years. Her sister's a little bit older than her, isn't she? And she's still competing at a really high level. So, yeah, expected to still be around for a good few more years.
I think there's a good case for Venus Williams being sort of a good part of this list, because that sort of familial drive that you get, the competitiveness with your siblings and the sort of support that you get from that, I think cannot go amiss here. So we can put Venus as just sort of a little aside in this career. Obviously, she's got her own separate glittering career to fall back on, but that sort of familial drive and that support that she's obviously given her younger sister has been really, really good.
And I think one of the things that we should probably highlight is the fact that obviously we don't really know how difficult it is to compete at the top of any sport, but to compete at the top of any sport whilst having to beat her sister, that I feel like is a little bit more difficult personally, just because she knows that her sister is an unbelievable athlete. You can say difficult, you can say easy, because obviously you're beating your sibling, but some of those games that we got to watch between the two were unbelievable.
It certainly adds an extra dimension to
it. Yeah, an extra edge to it, for sure.
If I was playing my sister or anything, I would... We did actually quite a few times in judo, and I was doubly aggressive because it was my sister. But I think that probably says more about me than it does about anything else. Right, so shall we move into our top three? Or Chris, have you got anything more to say on Serena?
No, I'm all good.
You're all good. So at number three is Catherine Granger. Chris, you gave her full marks for this, so let's hear you for a bit.
Yes, so she came the very top place on my list for this. And it's back to our theme of GB for one and theme for longevity and perseverance. So let me start by reading these results to you. 2000 Olympics, Sydney, silver. 2004 Olympics, Athens, silver. 2008 Olympics, Beijing, silver. 2012 Olympics, London, gold. Finally. And 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics, silver. So she reverted to type in the end, but...
That's so harsh. I'm reverting to type in the second best in the world.
But she is...
And we'll carry on.
She is Great Britain's most decorated female Olympian. And having finally won gold in 2012 after those four silvers, I think it's absolutely incredible that she managed to show the perseverance to keep on coming back, having just been pipped on the post... to finally get that gold. I have so much admiration for her that she managed to do that. And to get all those medals. She's also a six-time world champion. So she kept on doing it in the world champs, but then not quite managing to replicate that form in the Olympics. And then for many people, that would be enough to get them to stop. But she, and she, beyond that, in because it's rowing, and she wasn't in single sculls and she didn't do it all on her own. She changed partners time and time again. And to last all the way from 1997 to 2011 was her eight medals at World Championships with the GB rowing team. It's incredible that she managed to show that longevity and perseverance to finally get the gold. So I was giving her my top place because I felt she deserved it for all of the knockbacks that she got throughout her career. Because I know there's so many people out there that have achieved... that have had that throughout their sporting career. They've had loads of knockbacks and just kept on going. And she finally got what she coveted more than anything else. And that was an Olympic gold.
Yes. Unbelievable defence, Chris. That she's deservedly on that list. You really do like putting rowers in the top.
I do.
Right at the top of your list, don't you? Obviously with Steve Redgrave last time. And she's very similar. I think that she should have as much of a recognition to the sport of rowing as Steve does. That longevity, like you say, we keep saying it. 1997 is when she started at the top level. That's incredible. And finally winning that gold in 2012. I remember it vividly, to be honest, the gold, because that was the prevailing story of the first week or so of that Olympics. Let's get Catherine Granger that gold. And obviously with such an incredible World Championships haul behind her, it was stunning, frankly, that she hadn't made it to the top of the podium at any preceding Olympics. And that was a very nice cherry on the crown and what was quite an incredible two-week period for Britain. It was really good. Chris, obviously you had that quite high up your list in our greatest sporting moments, but I disallowed it for not being a moment, because Catherine Granger winning that gold is a moment within a moment, so it doesn't really work, does it? Jack, any more to add? You gave us some points.
Yeah, not much more to add. Chris has pretty much got there, but like for me, she pretty much is the image of rowing from that time, really. Unbelievable accolades, and I'm just so happy she got that gold medal in the end.
They should have done some mixed doubles and had her and Steve in the boat. Like, what a team. There'd be just golds everywhere, like raining golds. Yeah, that would have been really good. Catherine Granger definitely deservedly on that list. Sorry I didn't give you any points, but I gave other people points instead. Right, so now we've got everyone here has been given points by all of us, which is very nice because we don't have to fight with Chris like we did last time. So we have Dame Kelly Holmes. Who shall do this? Me or Jack? Jack, you do it.
You sure?
Yeah, go on. I spoke about Kelly Holmes in the last pod a little while ago, so you go for it. Let's hear your opinion.
So Kelly Holmes, unbelievable athlete. She it's kind of hard to explain because we weren't very old when she was competing. So obviously she won her gold medals in the Olympics in 2004 in Beijing, and she also won a bronze medal in 2000 in Sydney. Sorry, 2004 was not Beijing, it was Athens. That's my bad. She competed in both the 800 meters and the 1500 meters. In the World Championships, she got the 1995 silver medal in Gothenburg. In 2003, she got the silver medal as well. And 1995, she got the bronze medal in 800 meters. She was pretty much an image to the British Olympics team. She had a massive impact in sport for me personally, and I'm just amazed to watch her compete at such a high level and stay there, really.
Yeah, for sure. I think we spoke about this in quite a bit of depth in our Sporting Heroes podcast, but I think this is where moments shape sporting lives, and this is why Kelly is so high, because like her medal haul is incredibly impressive, don't get me wrong, but it's not...
It's one medal, those medals.
Yeah, it's not stunning, but we really remember that time in those fallow years where I obviously forgot about Steve Redgrave the first time, sorry, where she got that double gold in Athens in the 800 and 1500, but that 800 when, you know, she sort of surged her way through and it was just sort of a three-way fight all the way down the home straight, you weren't quite sure, and then she goes across the line and she knows she's won it and her eyes do that thing where they pop out of her head. Celebrating, you know, that's something I'll remember forever. And it is an inspiration when you're young and you don't really understand things and you see like a stadium full of people screaming at somebody like after just winning a Titanic gold, I think we'll call it. Yeah, she was a legend at the time during relative sparsity of success in GB sport. Yeah, and it's sort of got a good little array of medals. And obviously, again, another really big part to the successful 2012 Olympic bid. I'm going to say it again, I'm boring, I'm sorry, a legend, and very deservedly at number two on this list. Chris, you gave her 7 points, you obviously had some reasoning, let's hear some more from you.
Yes, so obviously I'm banging the drum for longevity and perseverance again, and as you said, it was quite a long career that came together at the right time, but the perseverance comes in because she had a completely riddled career with injury. She had a rotten record, and that's what curtailed her probably from winning more stuff and not quite getting the medals that maybe her talent deserved earlier in her career. So that perseverance really stood out for me as another reason why she deserved to be on the list. And then it's also worth a mention that her Dame Kelly Holmes Trust, which is now a registered charity, supports young athletes and helps the lives of young people facing disadvantage across the UK. So like so many of these people that we've already mentioned, they're helping young athletes and young sports people away from the pitch as well, and helping them out there with their fantastic profiles that they all have.
Yeah, for sure. I did forget about her injury record as well. That was not an indictment of her in any way, saying that like her medal haul wasn't like stunning. She has got an amazing collection of medals, but you know, for the caliber of athlete she obviously was, it's such a shame she wasn't fit and healthy for as long as she possibly could have been. That's more of the way that I was saying it. Yeah, because you don't win 850 meter double without being an unbelievably good athlete, so it's a shame, because I think that's perceived as probably the hardest double. I've definitely heard that before, the hardest double to do. Not that any double is easy, but there we go. Kelly Holmes very rightly on that list, and number one, you can probably
not
guess
surprisingly.
It
surprisingly,
yeah, we can probably guess it, given our generation and given her successes. Jessica Ennis-Hill, of course, is our number one. I think I'll leave the charge on this one. Feel free to jump in whenever you like, chaps. Obviously, the one Olympic heptathlon gold on what was Super Saturday in London 2012. She won the silver 4 years later in Rio. She's got three world championships golds, 09 Berlin, 11 Daegu, and 2015 in Beijing. She's got one Eurochamps gold. Again, this is another example of an athlete who perhaps doesn't have quite the huge medal haul that you'd expect for someone so high up a list. But I think it's the triumph over adversity that really gets her high up the list for me, and obviously the impact that Super Saturday really had on sort of the British sporting psyche. So she was flying pre-2008 in Beijing, obviously, but she had quite a horrific Achilles injury that took her out of the game for quite a while, and obviously had to miss the Beijing Olympics. I'm pretty sure this is right. I had time to double check it, but she had to relearn the long jump off the wrong foot after that 2008 injury. And she's not a shabby long jumper, let's put it that way. You know, give me a football to kick with my left foot, I'm blinking awful, let alone jump off my left foot. It's completely different. It's like restarting the sport all over again. You hear of people relearning to throw with their wrong arm, and I'm just like, what? How did you manage that? And relearning to jump and then compete at the highest level possible with your wrong foot is unbelievable as well. Very gentle, very humble, you know, a real sort of, what do you even say here? Top of the range athlete that you really want to aspire to be. She's obviously had her kids and that sort of thing and competed afterwards. It's, you know, another tick for longevity, tick for coming back against adversity. And then allied that with the greatest sporting moment, probably the British Olympic Society has seen for quite a while on that Super Saturday. I think that goes up there as peak athlete, and she's very, very deservedly. She got number one from me, she got number one from Jack, and Chris, I think you had her at number three, didn't you? So we all obviously had her in her top, getting a medal at least. So very deservedly there. Chaps, what more can you say?
I think one of the things that I want to add, and it's slightly disagreeing with you, Tim, in the fact that obviously we do wish she had a lot more medals, in Olympic medals and everything, but for her to compete in the pentathlon and the heptathlon, but I think she did compete in both, but I think the heptathlon is obviously her specialty. It is one sport, but it's not one sport. Do you know what I mean? So she's competing in so many different ones, which is unbelievable. And as you said, like obviously the setback and then going to have a child and then coming back and still going to get an Olympic silver medal. She is just an unbelievable athlete.
Yeah, I don't want you misreading what I'm saying. Like, it's more saying like I wish she had more for the unbelievable athlete she was. Yeah. You know, this is where I think when we were talking about the men, particularly, we were talking about blokes who hadn't missed lots of time through injury other than Johnny. And in this case, you know, with the whole of this list, essentially, you've got people who have missed big chunks of their career through some severe injuries and come back from it. So it's not like I'm saying there's a disappointing medal haul. I'm saying I wish that unbelievable athlete had more.
No, I completely agree. I wasn't trying to say you were misjudging it. I was just saying, obviously, we both wish she did, but we can completely understand how difficult her sport was. And so, because it's such a long sport, it's not one day. I think they do it over 3 days, don't they? 3-4 days?
It's 2 days, I think, isn't it?
Two days. It's unbelievable. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, to compete at the top level across so many different disciplines, which is, you know, it's meant to test your all-round capabilities.
Exactly.
So obviously,
an all-round athlete.
Jess wasn't the biggest thrower, but then she made up for it in being an unbelievable track athlete and obviously a really good jumper as well. Stunning athlete. She very rightly probably could have competed genuinely in the individuals in the hurdles. She did double up a few times, I think. Maybe not at the major championships, but certainly at sort of the next tier down, you saw her doing both, which is, it's incredible.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to watch her twice, actually. So I had tickets to the morning session of Super Saturday, which was absolutely incredible to watch.
Is that worse? Is that like, you only, just by a flick of the coin, you got the morning session when you had the evening session?
Well, I think the evening session was twice the price, so in one
enough.
Way it was better. But I think anyone would have paid any amount of money to watch that. But it was quite nice because I got to watch her do her javelin, I think high jump, in the morning, and then went home and watched on TV her. Managed to get the medal in the evening and cheer on. Yeah, exactly. To feel part of it. So,
100%.
Being able to watch the face of the games like that was incredible.
Exactly.
But then also to go on about these heptathletes, I think it's definitely worth. I had honourable mentions for Katarina Johnson Thompson, Kelly Sutherton, and Denise Lewis as well. Because this event is so incredible, and it almost when I did the research for this, it made me a little bit annoyed that I didn't put someone like Daley Thompson on my mail list, just because they are all-round athletes.
Yeah, my dad emailed me saying, why did you have Daley Thompson on your list? And I was like, well, because his career finished considerably before mine started.
Yeah.
My life started. But this is where the beauty of this lies. You know, it depends what people prioritise and they're sporting heroes. And that's why we're wrong to so many people. But I think that even the neutrals will have Jess Ennis very high up this list. Obviously, you know, we've seen quite a few people sort of attempt to cross from one discipline into another, especially from heptathlon or these multi-events into a specialist. I think the only person who I've seen in recent times do that to any modicum amount of success was Daphne Schippers, the 100 meter Dutch runner. But you know, Jess Ennis, I'm fully back to have got medals at in hurdles if she had put her mind to it. So yeah, an unbelievable athlete, and finishing off an unbelievable list of brilliant people. I think this has been really fun going through all this, and the great thing is we can do it in 5 years' time and it will look completely different. Because obviously Serena Williams might have got a few more titles and
she'll people
burst onto the scene. Kat Johnson-Thompson might have won a few golds. Actually going back onto it and just giving a shout out to Kelly Southerton. Kelly Southerton and Christina Horugu, obviously both track athletes. Christina Horugu was a 400 meter runner. I really remember them from early on my athletics watching. And I think Kelly Southerton was one of those people she's only just received a bronze medal for the Olympics, to do with doping and that sort of thing. So big congrats to her.
She does some coaching at Wasps, actually. She comes and helps the boys with their speed work. It's been absolutely unbelievable to actually meet her, because just like you, Timmy, when I was growing up and watching athletics, she was one of those stars that really stood out. So now to meet her and see how humble she is and how she wants to teach other people how to do stuff, it's absolutely incredible.
Is she still rapid?
She is still rapid, yes. I can confirm she's still an incredible athlete. One of those infuriating people.
Yeah. Okay, so that ends our magical list of, 21 sporting heroes from our lives. Like I said, this is going to change over the few years. Jack, I'm not going to book Harry Kane on it anytime soon. He was very worried that I was going to. But Harry, I'm sorry, mate, not just yet. Win some stuff, then we'll come back.
Just got to come home first.
Yeah, Barry Beckham and the Barry Beckham and Kieran Trippier, and then Harry Kane will also be on the list, I'm sure, at some point in my life. Anyway, that's it. So like I said, the magical 21. We had a few guesses before the pod last time as to who's on the list. I hope you enjoyed my absolutely awful attempt at graphic design that my cousin who made it in the first place must be absolutely tearing her ears out. But other than that, have any suggestions for us? Who did we miss out? Or if you're a slightly different generation to us, what's your completely different list? We really do like to hear about all these things. Remember, it's at @dugout_debate on Facebook and on Twitter. And why don't you just go back and listen to our 12 sporting moments if you haven't already. We'll be back very soon. We're going to have a couple of special guests, I think, on our next one, so tune in for that one. Otherwise, bye bye everyone.